Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 4 o'clock hour on a Friday. All right, my kind of semi-daily COVID-19 thing, and this is going to be very brief. Not going to spend very much time on this, but as I have said repeatedly, I am hoping this program will be a source of calm, balance, truth, and facts, as opposed to the hype, the hysteria, and even the panic that so many people are experiencing. If you were listening yesterday, I told you, hey, expect the number of new cases to either stay the same or even increase. Expect it. Do not be surprised. And most of all, don't panic. And if you were listening yesterday, I said the number of new cases is probably the least important of all of these statistics. And even though it is the least important, it's the one that is emphasized the most by the media and our state government. Well, sure enough, we had another increase in the number of, quote, confirmed cases. Now, we're not really sure what that means, and I'm not trying to be smart or silly. We honestly are not quite sure what that means, because those confirmed cases could be tests that were taken 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and were just reported. Many of the new cases are people who didn't have any symptoms at all but decided to go get tested, or were hospitalized for a procedure, knee replacement, hip replacement, shoulder surgery, hernia surgery. If you go into the hospital for any reason right now, you will be tested for COVID-19. Well, a large percentage of people who get this don't even know it. So anyway, I'm not trying to make light of it, but we really don't know what even that means, the number of new cases. But anyway, I guess it is what it is. Here's what's really important. The number of deaths, the number of hospitalizations, and the percentage of positivity. The percentage of those testing positive. Okay. 2 days ago, I reported to you that the percentage of positivity in Ohio was hanging around 6%, 6.2%, which is in the low to medium category. It's not an emergency. It's not really anything to be concerned about. For instance, right now, and I checked today, the percentage of positives in Texas is 16%. 16%. Today, in Ohio, the percentage is 5.4%. It was 6.2. So in spite of the fact that we've had a spike in new cases, the positivity rate is going down. The number of deaths are either staying constant or declining. The number of deaths are not going up. Hospitalizations have risen slightly in Ohio. Slightly. Hospital capacity, there is absolutely no problem whatsoever. So the real indicators of whether this thing is getting out of control and we should shut the state down again, number of deaths, number of hospitalizations, and probably most important, the percentage of positive tests. All of those numbers are either constant or declining. And again, the positivity rate, 5.4%. Now, you want to know why we continue to see an increase in the number of cases? Well, back in June, we were testing approximately 10,000 people a day. Just a few days ago, we hit the 40,000 mark in one day. Now, a little bit of common sense. The more people you test, the more cases you're going to uncover. So if you're testing 10,000 people and the positivity rate is 4, 5, 6%, you're going to get a certain number. If you test 40,000 people and the positivity rate is 4, 5, 6%, you're going to see 3 to 4 times as many cases. That's just common sense. The last few days, we have averaged over 20,000 cases every single day. So we have gone from 10,000 tests, and that's what I'm talking about is tests. We have gone from 10,000 tests in a day to a high of 40,000 tests in a day to an average of about 20,000 a day. So again, tomorrow, and by the way, we're not going to see a steep decline in the number of new cases for quite some time. But I would not be surprised if pretty soon we see a day or two here in Ohio when there is not a single COVID-19 death. We're headed in that direction. And now, will that be tomorrow? I don't know. Next day? I don't know. Next week? I don't know. But I know we're headed in that direction. So once again, I am not underestimating how dangerous this virus can be. For whatever reason, I don't know, but Texas is really suffering. Some areas in Texas, they're having to bring in mobile refrigerated trucks to store the bodies until they can bury them. That's serious. It is. So I'm not trying to make light of this thing. I'm just trying to give you facts so you know how to handle it. I would fully expect increased orders from the governor in the next day or so. A couple reasons. Some of the local TV stations have been doing polls. Is the governor doing enough or too little to handle the crisis? Because so many people are scared to death because they watch the news. Most of the polls have said the governor's got to do more. He's got to do more to protect us because we're all dying out here. After all, the number of cases is increasing. Like I said, yes, they are, because we're testing more. Hello? And so public opinion. Now, in a lot of ways, I like our governor. I do. I think he's a good man. But he's a professional politician who pays a whole lot of attention to polls. And so because of the hype and the hysteria created by the news media here in Ohio, I fully anticipate the governor to step things up. I don't know what that means. Mandatory mask for the entire state. I don't know. But I expect it. I expect it. Bottom line, yeah, it's serious. But if you look at the facts and the important statistics, we're actually headed in the right direction. And no, things are not getting worse, in spite of what the news media wants you to believe. All right, we'll be back.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
While we are here in America debating whether we should be forced to wear masks or not, while we here in America are complaining about the inconvenience of wearing masks, I read this headline, 22 Nigerian Christians killed, thousands displaced after 3 days of raids from Fulani militants. This is the area of Nigeria that I had the privilege of visiting. It's been, oh my goodness, it's probably been over 10 years ago now, I guess. And those of you that are regular listeners, please forgive me for repeating this story. I've told it several times, and I mean it. Please forgive me for being repetitious, but we have new people tuning in all the time. We have new listeners being added to our family constantly, and we're very, very thankful for that. But maybe by me sharing a little bit of this story, maybe this story will become a little more personal to you. I had the privilege of being in Nigeria with the Bible League 10, 12 years ago now. It was the very first trip I took with the Bible League. And we landed in Abuja, which is the capital. I thought Lagos was the capital. No, it's Abuja. We flew into Abuja, got in late at night, and as we got off the plane and walked into the airport, we were met by four gigantic Nigerian military soldiers. They had automatic weapons over their shoulder, and, you know, the bandoliers with the bullets, you know? I mean, it was something like out of a movie. And they were the first people we met as we got off the plane. They were in the airport before we even got into the airport. And our Nigerian host introduced us to the soldiers, and he said, "These gentlemen are going to be your constant companions every moment, every day that you are here in the country. Do not go anywhere without them. Do not cross the street without them. Do not go to the bathroom without them." And I thought, this is overkill. Come on. Well, I learned very quickly it was not overkill at all. We were in the Muslim north of Nigeria, and we were traveling. Our headquarters was going to be the city of Jos, J-O-S. If you follow international news and you read about a massacre in Nigeria, the dateline will almost always be Jos, J-O-S. It's kind of the center of where all this activity is. It was an incredible trip. We met dozens of people who had a son, a daughter, a mother, a father killed, murdered, slaughtered simply because they were Christians. We met pastor after pastor after pastor whose church was burned to the ground. We met almost everyone we met had a relative that had become a martyr for Christ. One day we were traveling down a country road, came into a little village. There was a demonstration. They could see that we were a bunch of white people. They surrounded our bus, tried to turn the bus over until one of those soldiers got out with the machine gun. And it was wild. The next to the last day we were there, in the morning, our Nigerian host with the Bible League said, "We're going to such and such a village. Sometime today, we are hoping to go to a location. I can't tell you where it is. I can't give you any of the details. It's too dangerous. But we are trying to work out the security concerns, and if we can, we're going to take you to a place you will never forget." So, okay, all right. So we went about our way during the day, went to this village and interviewed these people and that people. We got back on our little bus, a little mini bus. I think there were 12 of us. And our host said, "All right, we're going as fast as we can to our location. I just want you to know, do not look out the windows. Look straight ahead. Do not make eye contact with anyone. we're going into a very dangerous area. I thought, okay. We went to a city which had been a Christian city in a Muslim state. Nigeria has states like we do. This was a predominantly Christian city within a predominantly Muslim state. 18 months before we were there, the entire city was burned to the ground. City of 20 to 25,000 people. Every house where a Christian lived had been burned to the ground, every single one. They were just shells. Several churches in the city, all of them burned to the ground. Dozens and dozens and dozens of Christians were killed. We made our way to the far end of the town to the largest church in the city, Evangelical Bible-Believing Church, which 18 months before we were there was burned to the ground with the congregation inside. They locked the doors when they heard that these Fulani militants were coming, and they hoped that they would respect the sanctity of the church. They didn't. They surrounded the church, barred the doors so no one could get out, and burned it to the ground. And we stood where the martyrs had given their lives for Christ. Oh, by the way, that was just 18 months before we were there. They had rebuilt the church, and they were having worship services again in the very same place. Why do I say this? These are real people. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. 3 days, 22 Nigerian Christians killed, thousands displaced, because these Fulani Muslims will come into a city and as many as can run to the hills to escape. But then their houses are left behind and they're burned to the ground. Now, I was there 10 to 12 years ago. The United Nations, the United States, other countries said, you know, we're going to help you put an end to this. This happened July 10th through the 13th. It's still happening. One village, one city, 22 killed, thousands are without homes. I can see the burned out shells. Pray for your brothers and sisters around the world.